The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. He's got a couple more days of vacation. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. Our number two here in the radio program. Let's go through these college basketball games here, Mafia, because some interesting stuff. Halftime, Kansas 49-35 over TCU. Live line minus 13.5 for Kansas. I would absolutely get on that, right? I think that they're going to win this game by 20+. They are upset after that loss to Texas over the weekend. They are taking it out on the Horned Frogs tonight down in Fort Worth. So love that. And speaking of taking it out on somebody, Michigan State Mafia tonight, 63-40. They are hammering Rutgers tonight. So couple of ranked teams there. Michigan State has been spotty here at times. They have not been great. And bad look for Rutgers tonight, taking it on the chin from the Spartans.
Yeah, you know, they're ranked. Everyone's talking about how good they are, and they finally, built this program up. And, you know, going against a Michigan State team, obviously, is on the road, so that makes it a little bit tougher. But Michigan State has just looked terrible since they got the conference play. They were 1-3 in conference play before this game, and now just running them out of the gym, up 23 points here on Rutgers. Pretty surprised how badly they're going to beat them. You know, it's one thing to go and lose on the road to a seasoned team like Michigan State and Tom Izzo, but to go get run out like this, it kind of, you know, drops you back to 3-3 in the conference. Now you're 7-3, you know, outside that. But 3-3 in the conference doesn't look great. That, you know, it doesn't look like you are the team that people were talking you up in non-conference season.
Like, they're going to make the tournament. They were going to get back to it last year, unfortunately, when the season stopped and there was no tournament. They will be in the mix this year. They are a good team. It's just they're not at the same team away from the rack. 65-54, UConn beats Marquette. Big comeback for them. Nice job. They were losing in that game early in the second half, and Hurley's squad comes back to get the win. Clemson needed overtime. They beat NC State 74-70. Texas Tech 82-71 over Kansas State. Texas, a close one. Number four now after the win over Kansas. 78-72. They beat the Cyclones Iowa State. Mississippi State beat Mizzou 78-63. as well. So a lot of ranked games in college hoops tonight, Mafia, as we continue to roll, into the meat of getting back into it. And now that the NFL, we're into the playoffs, we don't have really any more football on weeknights, no more Monday Night Football, no more Thursday Night Football, college football done except for one more game. Now you can really dive in to the college basketball. And this is the time, Mafia, when I want to start looking at the teams that I want to circle and get ready for March, teams that I can bet on to get to the Final Four, teams that I can bet on to win it all, teams that I can bet on to win conference tournaments. This is the time of year where you have to start building that data in January and early February.
Yeah, this is a very interesting season, the way things are operating. You know, obviously you have so many teams that have missed games. You know, you got teams that have played 9, 10, 11, 12 games, and then you have like UConn that's played like 5. You know, so many missed opportunities. You don't really know how to judge some of these teams. It's going to be interesting to see how the committee judges them. I mean, Villanova, you know, has been barely playing all year right now. They haven't played since Christmas. You know, do they punish some of these teams? Or they say, you know what, it's not your fault. We put you in anyway because you have a name.
Yeah, that's it. And now every night we get it, the weekends will be packed with college basketball. I'm ready to go, that's for sure. And we welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty tonight, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Scotty back in a couple of days, of course, from vacation. NBA tonight, Mafia, halftime. 63-44 now with the Spurs and the Clippers. I know that you're involved in this game.
Ugly.
Very ugly. So here's where we're at. 10.5 right now you could catch the Clippers with. This game is going to go one of two ways. Do they care enough that they can, in the first half of the third quarter, get this thing down to 10? And if they do, they'll probably push themselves to go and win the game. If it hangs at 20... halfway through the third quarter, you know where this is going, Mafia. They clear the bench, they get Kawhi out, they get everybody else out, and they just say, all right, Spurs, you got one tonight. We're resting everybody the rest of the way.
Yeah, and, you know, this is one of those that's going to be kind of, you know, where we see how Ty Lue is going to be as a coach of this team and how he handles it. Obviously, you know, in Cleveland, he's, you know, very much a player's coach, kind of deferred to LeBron in a lot of instances, you hear and you think. Now with, you know, Kawhi and these guys that he's coaching, you know, if Doc Rivers was in that locker room right now, I don't care if this is a regular season game, he'd be ripping into him. He'd be, you know, saying, like, what the hell are you doing? This team sucks. You're getting your ass kicked by him at home. Like, are you kidding me? You pansies. You know, I don't know if Ty Lue's going to do that. So I don't know if they might have, you know, that fire, or do they kind of just come out lackluster and just like, eh, whatever, this one doesn't matter.
And here's the other thing with the Clippers. They do play tomorrow night. They play at Golden State against the Warriors. So if you continue to be down, like I said, they could sit all their main guys and say, we'll get them tomorrow night. That's it. We'll keep everybody fresh. If they do come back and win this game, you bet the Warriors tomorrow night. That's for sure. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia with you. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. When we come back, Mafia, that's right. The Heisman Trophy was awarded tonight. And a couple of interesting nuggets about that and the Ohio State-Alabama national title game, which as of now is supposed to still be played on Monday. Pharrell on the bench. We'll keep rolling right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us.
I mean, it's possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you. In for Scotty, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. The Heisman Trophy, very prestigious award, was handed out tonight, virtually, of course, this year. No downtown athletic club, like usual. And Devontae Smith, Alabama wide receiver, first wide receiver to win the award since the early 90s, right? Desmond Howard in 91, last time a wide receiver won it. Very deserving. Look, watched a lot of Smith this year, Mafia. He destroyed teams every week. This guy had monster games. You watched him in that Notre Dame game last week. I think that he could have scored maybe two or three more touchdowns if they didn't want to take their foot off the gas in the second half. This guy is, listen, you know, Julio Jones went to Alabama as well. This guy is ready to play in the NFL right now. Going to be a top 10 pick, I'd bet. A nice honor for Smith in a year where a lot of guys just couldn't step up and get it done.
Yeah, a huge year for him. I mean, a couple weeks ago when I was talking about this with KW on In Game Live on Saturday nights, I was talking about him. We're talking about the Heisman and the odds. And it's kind of like, well, you know, the way I was looking at it is how do you give, you know, the Heisman to a wide receiver because, you know, his quarterback's still in the mix too. Like,
right,
the guy's got to get him the ball. So how do you, you know, pick him over the guy who has more touchdowns and yards? And then, you know, looking at things the last couple weeks, you crunch numbers. Like, he finished the season with basically, I just did the math quickly before we got back on air, 41% of all of Mac Jones's yards came off catches by him. 56% of his touchdown catches went to Smith. So that's how you get it. You know, as good as Mac Jones was this year, you know, you could basically say, like, listen, half the guy's production went to this guy. You know, that's why he was so good, is because he had this receiver. I mean, he averaged like 137 yards and almost two touchdowns a game. It's just ridiculous what this kid did. He was incredible. He absolutely deserves it. You saw, you know, not just in, you know, every game, but there were certain big games where he completely shined. Like you said, that Notre Dame game, just did whatever he wanted. 130 yards, three touchdowns. I had the prop that they were going to hold him under 160 receiving yards. I mean, that's how good he is, that the prop for total receiving yards was 160. And I was sweating that out. I was worried about that in that third quarter. Like, oh, my God, there's no way they're going to hold this guy. I only need 30 more yards. Somehow they just decided to stop doing anything. I mean, the Florida game, 184 yards and two touchdowns in the SEC title game. The LSU game, 230 yards, three touchdowns. You know, you play ranked at Auburn, 170 yards and two touchdowns, 200 yards against Mississippi. Like, the guy just had ridiculous numbers all season. Even though you knew that's who they were throwing it to, especially when some of the other receivers got hurt. Like, you knew he was the main target. He was the guy they're looking for, and you still couldn't stop him. That's how incredible he was.
Yeah, he really was. And I've got some numbers here on the voting, and we already have some odds on FanDuel for next year's Heisman. But first, let's listen into Devonta Smith tonight. A little bit of his acceptance on ESPN.
To all the young kids out there that's not the biggest, not the strongest, just keep pushing, because I'm not the biggest. I've been doubted a lot just because of my size. And really, it just comes down to you put your mind to it, you can do it. No job is too big. If you put your mind to it, you can do it, and just keep believing in God, and you'll get where you want to be.
Good for him. Honestly, that's awesome. I like to see something different when it comes to the Heisman. I said this with Keith today. I'm not the biggest Heisman guy anymore. I'm just not. Like, there's been too many guys who have won it over the past 25 years that, like, they never mattered again. It doesn't mean so much in terms of NFL success. I feel like it doesn't have the same prestige that it used to have. And by the way, Mav, do you know how many people vote for the Heisman? How many voters there are? Yeah, take a wild guess. I mean, just throw a number out there. How many voters do you think there are for the Heisman?
1,200.
It's actually a little bit, you were close. About 927. There's 927 voters for the Heisman Trophy. Crazy. Smith got 447.
Like a small town.
He got 447 of those 927 first place votes. Trevor Lawrence got 222. Mac Jones got 138. Those are first place votes. Would you believe that Ian Book got the same amount of first place votes as Justin Fields? How about that? Well, you got to remember, they do the voting before the bowl game. Now, if they did the voting after the bowl games, that would not be the case at all. But because they did it before the bowl games and Fields only played as we heard 1,000 times, 6 games, and he wasn't overly impressive, especially in the last game people saw him in the Northwestern game. That's why Fields finished 7th. He was Mafia the favorite at this time last year, or right before the season over the summer. I think it was Ariel put up odds from maybe July, and Fields was the favorite just ahead of Trevor Lawrence, and he ends up finishing 7th and has the same amount of first place votes as Ian Book.
Well, at times, you know, when Trevor Lawrence got COVID, I'm sure Fields is probably up there with that too, you know. Yeah. And you know, the Alabama guys, of course, were there as well. But, you know, it's just amazing. You know, you had 3 different Alabama guys that were in the running for this in the top 10. You know, obviously Harrison didn't make it all the way, but you talk about all the guys that have wanted it, especially at Alabama. Like, it seems like if you were running back at Alabama for a good 5-year stretch, you had a, you know, like 90% chance of winning the Heisman Trophy and then a 30% chance of being anything in the NFL. But that's just the way it goes sometimes with that trophy. It's just ridiculous. Like you said, you could be the greatest college football player ever. Doesn't guarantee success in the NFL. And speaking of Fields, you know, I know he talked about how him getting the votes there. He was the favorite coming into the year. He looked great in that bowl game. As a Jet fan, I'm still not sold on him at number 2. So I would not, you know, be crying in my cereal here if they decided to draft Smith at number 2 or trade down to someone else, you know, a couple picks and grab Smith, you know, 5, 6, 7, like, we need a number 1 receiver. I would love this kid on our team.
Smith's going to be very interesting because you're right. The Jets could use him, but I think the Jets will trade that to somebody who does want Fields. I think the Dolphins at 3, Mafia. Being a team that just missed the playoffs, you know, you don't need as much as some of the other teams that are up there in the top 5, top 10. They could use I know they got Parker, but trust me, they could use more weapons watching that offense. I wouldn't be shocked if Smith played with Tua at Alabama. That could be a nice little mix there for them. So, Heisman.
They don't need that, though. Chan Gailey's coming back. He's not going to let him throw it.
Yeah, yeah. Chan's coming back. They're going to be just fine. Heisman odds for 2021 already up on FanDuel after tonight. Now, remember this. When you're looking to pick your Heisman winner this early or look for a lot of value, 2 years ago, Joe Burrow won the Heisman. On the initial odds, 200-1. Before the season started, nobody had any clue that Joe Burrow was going to win the Heisman. This year, Devonta Smith, 100-1 before the season to win the Heisman. So this is 2 years in a row now where preseason huge long shots came in to win the Heisman. So what does that mean, Mafia, for right now? Spencer Rattler at 5-1, JT Daniels at 8-1, DJ Uiagalelei at 10-1, Bryce Young 11-1, Sam Howell 14-1, and De'Aaron King at 16-1. You know what it means for those guys, right?
What does it mean?
they're not winning the Heisman next year. It's going to be somebody. And this list is deep, Mafia. Like, you got to see, they've got to have 50 names on here. Maybe more.
I'm looking at it. It's like, ridiculous. I can't even believe what they got. I mean, Rattler, I get at the top. But JT Daniels is on top, the second guy to win the Heisman next year. Are you kidding me?
Look, and I'm looking in the area that Smith and Burrow were in the last 2 years, that 100-1 area. I mean, Bo Nix, geez. Desmond Ridder, of course, the quarterback from Cincinnati. Charlie Brewer, Dylan Morris, George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia. Here's one for you. You know who I wouldn't mind? Here's who I'm going to take a shot with, Mafia. You want to throw $5 on somebody at 100-1 to win the Heisman next year? Isaiah Spiller, running back from Texas A&M. There you go. That will be the one. You want to take 100-1 shot on a guy? I'm going to go with him. How about that?
It's not the worst bet I've ever heard. I like him a lot better than, you know, Bo Nix, that's for sure, or Adrian Martinez.
And my guy Kyron Williams from Notre Dame in the 100-1 area also. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling on the bench right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 is the number. Scotty back in a couple days from vacation. We talked about the Heisman. There is one more college football game to be played this year, or this season, I guess we should say. The new year just started. I'm talking about the season. The question, I guess, is, Maf, when's it going to be played? I mean, it's supposed to be played on Monday. All indications are it's going to be played on Monday. There was some reports today, Brett McMurphy from Stadium, that there could be some COVID issues with Ohio State. They may need to move the game back. Then there were reports refuting that, saying, no, Ohio State's going to be ready to go. Then you've got Saban's daughter, I guess, tweeting out that Ohio State's doing this to try to give Justin Fields more rest because he was so banged up in that game against Clemson. She, of course, had to apologize. And while all that's going on, Mafia, we have another movement in the line here. 7.5 for the last few days. And tonight, popped back up to 8.5, -8.5 for the Crimson Tide. How about that?
Yeah, it's been insane. And we're going to have to see how this works out. I mean, we talked about that earlier. We talked about Cleveland. I mean, Ohio's been a hot spot, and Ohio State's had a problem with that all year. You know, they've had a bunch of games canceled and they have pushed off, and, you know, problems within their organization and their program. And that's why there's all the hubbub of, do they deserve to be in there because they didn't play enough games, where they bent the rules for the Big Ten title game to get them in. And then they've, you know, didn't bend the rules for the football playoffs, because there were no rules really. It's just whoever can bring in the most money, they're going to throw in. But they, you know, put them in there against a lot of people clamoring for other teams to be there who played more and longer seasons. So this is something they're facing again. And, you know, that's really, when I saw the thing about Saban's daughter, I'm like, you're such a jerk. Like, one, why would you even tweet that? Why are you getting involved, like, in embarrassing your father like that? You know, no one cares what you think, you know, the conspiracy theory on the COVID at Ohio State. But two, like, how could you sit there and be like, oh, they're just using an excuse, this isn't real? Like, moron. All season they've had this going on. This isn't something new. This isn't a team that played 12 games, no, you know, worries whatsoever, no scares, no one really testing positive. Didn't have to say anything out. And then all of a sudden, it's the week for the title game. They say, oh, man, this guy's hurt. Let's, like, you know, let's bring this out for the first time out of nowhere. They've had this for the last month going on. Do your research, sweetheart. Know what's going on besides what's going on in Alabama and Tuscaloosa. So, I mean, that was just embarrassing the way she threw this out there and had to come with, you know, egg on her face and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a light of it. I mean, you just look like such a moron and make your dad look stupid too. But, you know, no matter when this game goes on, it's going to happen. We're going to get it. And like you said on Coast to Coast today, you don't want any team to be forced into this in a bad situation. We don't want, like we had with all these bowl games where so many of them got canceled because you didn't have enough players. You don't want to come in there, you know, half-staffed here and say, well, you know what, we're just going to go with what we have. You know, you don't want a Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers situation. This is the title game. This is the coup de grace. This is what you've worked for all year. All these sacrifices, you know, they've been crying about these guys. You know, when you had, you know, your boy Brian Kelly saying, well, the parents should be able to watch because they've sacrificed so much for this team. Well, this is what it's all about, so you shouldn't go through with it if you don't have a full staff here. And we'll see how that develops over the next couple of days if this ends up getting pushed back. And if it does, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Yeah, look, I don't care if they have to wait. Like, I obviously want the game on Monday night, but I want best on best. I don't want excuses. I don't want a short team. I don't care if you got to wait. It's the last game. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just make sure everybody's there. Make sure everybody's healthy. Play the game with everybody available to play it. If that's not going to be the case on Monday, and I don't care what Ohio State's saying right now, but there's smoke, there's fire. All right, McMurphy's good. He's one of the best college football guys. If he's saying it, there's some smoke there, okay? So if there's even a chance that they're going to be missing a lot of guys, move the game back. You got no rush. Play it the following Monday. Hell, you could play it the Monday after that if you want. Play it when everybody is there so that we have best on best for the national title game. And I still like this Alabama number. This ain't changing for me. You know, 8.5, 7.5, 8.5. I think under 10, I'm in the mix with Alabama. And they're starting to slowly filter on, Mafia, the player props for this game. They have now at least put the quarterbacks up. Man, this Mac Jones, this one could be tough, though. 365.5?
Oh,
man, that's inflated. I mean, they haven't put Smith and Najee Harris and guys like that up yet, but geez, 365.5. That is a big chip. Now, Fields is 290.5. So Fields under 300 yards. You can move the ball on Alabama. We've seen teams do it this year. Fields might not be a bad play at 290, but Mac Jones at 360. It's hard to play a prop at 365.5, Moff.
It's hard to play with both those guys. I think right now the Mac Jones one's kind of inflated because what we've seen from them in certain games, what we've seen from, you know, obviously, you know, his incredible receiver Smith, who just won the Heisman. You know, I think they just think, hey, you know, this guy's just going to throw the ball all day. Yeah, they're going to throw the ball. They're going to get offense, but that's a lot of yards, especially when you have a guy at running back who's, you know, not obviously to the degree of you two because he was not born of the finalists, but another guy who's in the top 10 finalists for the Heisman. You know, Harris is awesome. So I think you could probably get some value playing both these guys on the under because, you know, Fields, they, again, a great running back in Trey Sermon there. He's been the one carrying, carry them through the Big Ten championship game. Now, they obviously threw the ball a lot more in that playoff semifinals and Fields looked better. But if he's banged up, you know, as they use this COVID excuse to heal him up, as we've been told, then, you know, maybe the situation that he might not be ready to go full strength. And if that's the case, you know, you're going to lean on Trey Sermon a little more. Now, I think obviously Nick Saban's smart enough as a, you know, defensive wizard and one of the greatest, if not the greatest college football coach we've ever had to sit there and say, dude, this guy's running the ball over creation. I'm going to load the box and make Justin Fields beat me, especially if he's hurt. But I think even if we get points from these teams, you're going to get enough from the running backs, you know, position on both sides that those numbers, I think, are inflated for both quarterbacks.
Yeah, and the same is going to be the case when they get everybody else up there, too. Whether it's Sermon, Harris, Devonta Smith.
Smith's going to be like 175 receiving yards.
Yeah, all these guys, it's going to be hard to play the player props in this national title game. The numbers are going to be so inflated. Now, if you want to play some of the secondary guys, you know, do a little digging, do a little research, look at what these guys have done over the past few games. The second and third tier players on Alabama and Ohio State, those are probably going to be the spots where you, if you want to play props, is to play them, because playing these big names, it's going to be really hard to do. Quick look around here, Mafia, before we go to a break. I hope everybody took the 13.5 with Kansas because they are now up 24 at TCU down in Fort Worth as they are putting it on the Horned Frogs after that loss over the weekend to Kansas. So nice job to Texas, I should say. So nice job by Kansas here, taking care of business both on the pregame line and that in-game live at 13.5. And here we go, Mafia. You're back in the mix. I said it. The Clippers are going to decide in the first 5 to 7 minutes of this half. Do they want to put this one in the cupboard and just get ready for Golden State tomorrow night? Or do they want to actually start playing and take the Spurs down? They have cut it to 10, 79-69. You can still get the Clippers at +4.5 and +176 on the money line. Now that they're within 10, Mafia, with still some time left in the third and a whole fourth quarter, I think the Clippers win this game now.
Yeah, the way they came out in this third quarter is definitely huge for them. They, you know, 25-16 to start it. They are obviously on fire. They didn't pack it up, pack it in. Kawhi Leonard is doing great, 26 points now, 6 assists. So that's a great run by them. And, I'm appreciative of that, not just because I bet on them, but I like that. I like the fire from them. You know, this is a, you know, weird season for the NBA. A lot of these best players aren't playing. They're taking it easy if they went deep into the playoffs. You know, you're going to have a lot of guys just kind of walking through this season way more so than we've had in the past. And it's been bad in the past with all this, you know, load management and rusting. It's going to be worse this year because of how many teams, you know, didn't really have an offseason going from the bubble in the playoffs to this. But the Clippers being one of those teams that should, you know, just cakewalk and not care about the regular season, they're coming and playing, you know, and really hard in this second half and meaningless game. So good for them. I'm happy for it as a better, and hopefully, you know, now it's back down to +4.5 for them as opposed to the 10.5 they were at the break. So I'm loving this right now, and hopefully they continue this. And how about the Nuggets there? 30-19 right now in the fourth quarter. It was a tight game. I think it was tied at 100s going into or right around there just before the fourth quarter, and the Nuggets just pulling away. Nikola Jokic just short of this triple-double, 35-15-6.
Well, 35-15-6, so he got over the 45.5 then, right? That Keith was talking about
on Coast to Coast today. Yeah, he had 50 points, rebounds.
Wow. So over the 45.5, he's just short of the triple-double. And believe it or not, Mafia, they might cover the pregame. Now, it was 11. They just gave up, it looks like, a 3 because now it's 123-115. So an 8-point game, 29 seconds to go. We'll see if the Nuggets can somehow cover this. But nice call by Keith today with Jokic, the 45.5, and potentially with the triple-double. Halftime in Portland, 54-45. The Blazers lead the Bulls. So the Bulls actually climbed back in. They were down 18 at the end of the first quarter, and they climbed back in it a little bit. What are the big Blazer guys got? Because usually the player props with them are always in play. Lillard with 15, so he's well on his way. McCollum with 9. So we'll see if the Blazers can pull away in the second half. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. When we come back, finally, we're going to hit those Super Bowl team props, Mafia. We're going to get to those. Pharrell on the bench rolls on right after this.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This
is the Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. Is the number. We are going to take a look at that FanDuel, name the finalists for the Super Bowl. Kansas continues to roll over TCU. Haven't mentioned this at all, Mafia, and it's weird. Yeah, there was no line on it, of course. The Hockey World Juniors gold medal game tonight. USA with a 2-0 lead over Canada with about 10 minutes to go in the third period. Looking to beat them for the
USA.
Looking to beat them for the third time in the gold medal game. Last couple times, I think it was 17 and 2010, they also beat him in the gold medal game. So really nice run by them. Canada, a heavy favorite, as always, in that tournament. And the USA trying to close it out with a couple minutes to go up in Vancouver. So we'll see if they can get the job done. All right, Mafia, we kind of teased this last night. We said we're going to take a look at these name the finalists prop on FanDuel. So what this basically is you pick the two teams that are going to face each other in the Super Bowl. So, of course, the favorite is the 2-1 seeds. Chiefs, Packers, +440. Chiefs, Saints, +600. Chiefs, Bucks, +900. And then you get into Chiefs, Seahawks, +950. So the four, obviously, top ones all involve the Chiefs. No surprise there. They are the favorites to win the whole thing. Then you start to get into Bills, Packers, Bills, Saints, Ravens, Packers, Bills, Bucks. So this go on any combination that you could possibly want, you can get out of the mix here. Was there anything, Mafia, just off the top of your head, when you looked at this enormous list of equations and possible Super Bowl matchups, where you said, this is one that I feel really strongly about, or you felt there's a lot of value here, this is a very possible matchup and could definitely happen with the way the brackets have worked out?
Well, I mean, the tough thing with this is obviously you look at the bracket and you're thinking, you know, very linear and saying, okay, listen, but that bracket is going to change. Like, they have it in bracket form. It's not staying a bracket. So it all depends on how things fall with who wins and how things go, upsets and the like. But, I mean, it's tough because I don't like picking chalk. But for me, in both conferences, I just don't see much chance for these other teams to upset the top two seeds. You know, I just think those two seeds are, you know, just a step above the rest. Tampa, we talked about their issues. You know, the Bears, they're scoring now, but they've had offensive struggles, you know, through much of the season until these last couple games. You know, we've seen, you know, some of these other struggles for the Rams in Seattle, and suddenly they can't score over there. So for me, the Packers and the Saints are the top teams there for a reason. And I don't know how I feel about the Saints. You know, there's just too many times that they've choked in the last couple of years. They seem cursed. Since Drew Brees and Peyton got that title, it seems like they're cursed. And obviously, you know, if it ends up being 1-2, the Packers obviously have had their issues as well. But this might be the year. You know, if you send the Saints to Lambeau, I am sure not betting on Drew Brees and that team in the winter, you know, in the snow and the wind and the ice of Lambeau to get things done. You know, so I would have to favor the Packers on that side of things. For me, the Chiefs and the Bills are a step above everyone else in the AFC. The Colts are a solid defensive team, but I think the Bills still get through them. The Steelers and the Browns have their struggles. You know, we know the Steelers' issues the last couple weeks. The Browns, how this COVID thing affects them, if they even get past the Steelers, going to be one thing. The Titans and the Ravens can't seem to stop anybody, and we know that the Ravens can't beat the Chiefs. You know, we know the failures of Jackson. So if you're going to look for, you know, value, it's tough with Kansas City. You're still getting plus money no matter what, but maybe Bills Green Bay at plus 1,200 might look pretty juicy. Or if you have faith and kind of win one for the Gipper and Drew Brees finally gets it going and gets to the title game and the chance to win in the second, then Buffalo and the Saints could be plus 1,600. That could be nice for me. You know, those are the ones where you might found value. Otherwise, you know, you're looking at plus 440 or plus 600 for me with the Packers and the Saints. But I got to find another way to get some juice here and some other teams in, because you want some better action than just that. Maybe, you know, Titans Green Bay at plus 4,200. How about that?
Yeah, Titans Green Bay. There's actually one that stuck out to me that I think a lot of people will bet, especially if you don't like just picking the one seeds to go to the Super Bowl. And this would eliminate both of those. I think a lot of people are going to be on the Ravens. They're going to have to do it on the road. They're going to have to beat, you know, Tennessee and then probably the Chiefs and Bills and the Steelers, etc. But I think a lot of people are going to pick the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl. And if you wanted to do a Ravens-Saint Super Bowl, 25-1. That's not awful. Ravens and Saints getting to the Super Bowl in Tampa. That's a pretty good one at 25-1. That could be worth a little bit of a poke right there. I know, and this is the other one. You know, Steelers Saints is one that like 10 weeks ago, Mafia, would probably be one of the like two or three favorites on the board. And you get Steelers and Saints now at 36-1.
That might be one that's very popular with the chowder heads up in New England. And maybe you get the old rivals going back at it, and the old former coach placing his former team in Steelers Buccaneers at plus 4,900.
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to ride Tom Brady up there. They just assume Tom Brady can do whatever he wants. He's God. Him and Gronk are obviously going to the Super Bowl.
The one that I kind of, with how magical this Bills season has been, like the one thing that would be so Bills is if they have to, you know, play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl if they ever actually got there. Because Tom Brady is absolutely, he is the team he has owned the most in his career in the NFL is the Bills. He's only lost them like twice. He's like 26-2 or something silly like that. It's probably even more than that. So a Bills Bucks Super Bowl 22-1 in Tampa. Bills and Bucks, Mafia. Can I sell you on Bills and Bucks? I'm not picking the Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to be the most overbet team that is not going to make it. They have been kind of a paper tiger. One win against a team with a winning record. I think a lot of people are going to be betting heavy on the Bucks to try to come out of this NFC.
Of course, everybody just assumes that, hey, it's Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's always in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, this isn't the same. And I think that I agree with you that so many people are going to be all over them because of him and just his success in New England, assuming that he's going to just find it here in the playoffs. And I just don't see it. I mean, they are the fifth best odds to make the Super Bowl, plus 1,000 here, which is kind of silly. I mean, after the top two seeds in each conference, the next best odds are the Bucks, and I just can't believe that because they do have a lot of offensive weapons, but their defense has given up a lot of points, and they've been slow to start. That offense just has not clicked, you know, how people expected it to, because they're basically running something that he's not comfortable with.
Yeah, you can say that, though, and you know that they have a very favorable matchup to get out of the first round. Only one team has a bye, and they, of course, go to Washington, which could be is a very winnable game, as we have discussed plenty. The Bills, I'm I think that as the week goes on, Mafia, I'm going to slowly feel more confident. I think that the initial, like, early in the week here, it's the Colts. It's they could run the ball, control the game. And I think as I go on and on, I'm going to start to feel more like, you know what? They've got this. Josh Allen's going to get it done. The offense is going to score a ton of points. Indianapolis isn't going to be able to keep up. I'm going to keep pumping myself up to that as we continue to get closer to Saturday. We do have Jordan Poyer, one of the better defenders on the Bills. And, of course, last year they lost a very tough game in Houston in the wild card round. Will that make a difference this week as they are back into the playoffs? Here's Poyer.
Yeah, I think you could learn something from, you know, all 2017, 2018, 2019. You learn something from all of those, you know, tough times that we've gone through. So even through this season, you know, like I've always said, you know, a season has its ups and downs, and, you know, teams find ways to get through the tough times. You know, those are usually teams that you see stand at the end. So, you know, it just, you know, we've been in this situation before. Understand how we got to prepare. Understand, you know, how, what we got to do to execute on Sunday. So, you know, it's just, it's another game, another opportunity for us to go out and show who we are.
Yeah, that game was brutal. The Bills had a 16-0 lead down in Houston last year. You know what happened in the second half. Deshaun Watson played great. The Bills made mistakes. They still had a chance to win it. Game goes to overtime. A horrific blindside block call on Deion Dawkins. It was just embarrassing. But it is what it is. The Bills lost that game. And that's the kind of game, though, Mafia. When you watch them this year, they go 13-3. Teams talk about this stuff and it's very cliched, but that win, that loss to Houston was kind of like the next step for this franchise, you know, getting back to the playoffs, losing a tough game like that, springboarding them to a really strong regular season where now they are one of the favorites to get it done. And they still got to win that first game and get that monkey off their back. But a loss like that last year can really springboard them and give them motivation as the playoffs start this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you were talking about how you need to work yourself up to being confident in the Bills. I'm kind of scared in the fact of how confident I am in the Bills. And, you know, as a division rival, I should hate them. I should want, you know, terrible things to them. But obviously, as a friend to you, I want you to have that success because, you know, at least one of us can be happy. It's not going to be me for the next 10 years, probably, if that. I mean, even when we got to the AFC title game, it's just let me down time and time again. I had to lose to Scott twice. I mean, come on, that killed me. But still... I mean, I think this team is one of the best teams going right now and probably the best. They might even be better than Kansas City and Green Bay in how deep they are on both sides of the ball and how well they're playing on both sides of the ball. So I'm very confident in them. They're my favorite right now coming out of the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. And of course, you know, that could all come crashing down on me because it seems too easy and it seems too perfect with how they're playing. And of course, there's going to be something that stumbles things when you feel that good about it. But I mean, going into this game, I love them against Indy because Indy's tough, but I have no faith in Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's the playoffs. This guy folds like a cheap suit in every playoffs, especially now if you're going to get him possibly in cold weather. It's not going to be nasty weather, but it's going to be cold. I don't trust them. And how well they're playing against these other teams, how much these other teams below them are struggling. I mean, even the Chiefs aren't, I would say, at full strength and full capability from what we've seen them in the past. So I love the Bills right now and how they're playing, and you have to lose to learn to win. You see that all the time, and it's cliche, the adage, but you see that how many times are these teams that get there and get so close and they lose that game and then all of a sudden they know where they made those mistakes. They know what they can't do and they turn it around. I think the Bills are one of those teams and it was an early defeat, so it's not like they lost in the AFC title game or the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And now they have that, you know, to their credit. But I think they're playing well enough that that inexperience in those little aspects is going to be something that works out for them. They got veterans like Diggs who've been there. You know, Beasley's been to playoffs a time, not had like a lot of success in Dallas, but they have right. guys that have been there and have done things and can, you know, show guys like Allen and some of these other players who haven't been there what they need to do.
Our boy Wynn Robertson on Twitter checked in with the Beltway Ravens versus the WFT at 500-1. For the name of the finalists. So there you go, Mafia. We'll get the Beltway Super Bowl.
It should be 5,000 to 1.
The Ravens WFT. And the Washington football team. 500-1 if you want to get that. And they added this tonight. You see, FanDuel, this is going to be great in the playoffs. I mean, they're just adding all these crazy things and they get my head spinning. The now not only can you do the name the Finalist Mafia, the exact result. So if you want to bet Chiefs to beat the Packers, you get 7-1, or Packers to beat the Chiefs, you get 10-1. So you can not just pick who's going to be in the game, Mafia. You can pick the result of the game. How about that? Let's go. Man, there's a lot of beaks here.
Got to find the value. There it is.
Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We will come back and wrap this one up right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We are before we get out of here. Here's what's going on. NBA tonight, the Nets absolutely pasted the Jazz 130-96. Jazz will have a back-to-back tomorrow night at the Garden against the Knicks, who have been playing very well, as we know. Lakers did not cover. They did win, though, 94-92 over the Grizz in Memphis. Nuggets also came back and won, did not cover. 123-116 over the T-Wolves at home. And right now, still two games going on. The Bulls have come back after being down 18 at the end of the first quarter. Now down 7, 69-62 in the third in Portland against the Blazers. And Mafia's bet with the Clippers. Unfortunately, they got it to within 7. I think that was the high water mark. But it is now back to 13, the lead for the Spurs. With about 7 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, Mafia, I think, unfortunately, you're going to be in trouble with this one. You're rooting for them to have some kind of a run here and get to overtime.
Absolutely disgusting. And take back all the nice things I said about in the beginning of the third quarter.
Come on. Hey, listen,
Serge Ibaka, 1-for-6 from the field. Come on, dude.
What stinks is that they teased you and they gave you that little bit of a run to where you thought they were going to take over and just win the game. Like, if they would have just kept getting blown out by 20 points, it's just, that's what's so hard about betting these regular season NBA games. It is what it is. You got to throw it away. But they teased you, and they got it to 10 and got it to 7, and you thought there was a chance they'd blow the Spurs away in the fourth quarter, and they let you down, Mafia. It's just not fair.
Not fair at all. Just like my ex-wife. Gave me that hope and took it away. Crushed my spirits and will to live.
There you go. There you go. Mafia, tremendous stuff tonight. We will do it again tomorrow. We'll continue looking towards the playoffs coming up this weekend. Carver High and Mafia, Scotty back in a couple of days here. Pharrell on the bench. We will see you guys tomorrow night. Have a good night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.